important to pay attention to what is not reported than it is to pay attention to what is reported. Anybody recognize the date? August 31, 1997. I really don't expect you to. I'm telling you that ahead of time, but maybe you might. No?
Princess Diana.
He's got it right. That's when Princess Diana was killed. All over the mass media. I have a second question for you. Can you remember one major Christian event in 1997? Again, I'm not saying you should. I'm just asking if you do. Mother Teresa died. Good. All right. A couple of you are picking up on things here. Discussing current events from a Christian worldview, values is a big issue. What's important anyway? In what's happening right now, worldwide. Okay? So I just begin with these two events just to. And how should it affect us? My point being that, first of all, maybe it's more important what's not reported than what is reported. My second point is a value point. Just precisely what are we looking for in the news anyway? And how are we going to talk about it in our classroom? I'd suggest to you that the question of value is a very, very, very important question. Now, I do not mean to demean Princess Diana. But I do mean to say that I'm not quite so sure that that was the most important event of August of 1997, or if it deserved the kind of ongoing media attention that it has gotten. I ask you, from a Christian worldview, is it really worth that kind of time and energy? Again, not to demean Princess Diana nor the royalty of Great Britain. Let it stand for whatever it's worth, but what about a Christian worldview? I have four maxims for you to consider in light of all of this, and four questions. And hopefully this will help you as you walk into your classroom and talk. I bet. Four maxims here for you that I would suggest to you consider when you are thinking about current events in the classroom. The first one is substance, not sensationalism. What are the three most important things as far as the media is concerned? Can you name them?
Graphic blood.
Okay, what did you say there?
Graphic blood,
violence. Violence and crime. Give me another one. Scandal, celebrities, immorality. Sports, athletics, professional athletics, politics. I was actually going to give the three: politics, celebrities, and athletics, professional athletics. You added in some good things there. Okay. Almost all of it centered either on some level of sensationalism or the celebrity thing. I don't know, the exaltation of people extremely high. And politics is politics. You know about that. I'm just submitting to you, I wouldn't go to the mass media for the immediate information that I'm going to use in the classroom, because it almost always is focused in the areas that we just got done talking about. And again, I ask you the Christian worldview question. Is it, what value is it? Not to demean people, nor to demean activities, but just asking you, what value is it? Good question to ask. I give a couple of categories here that I think are some that have more substance. Economics. You'd be surprised at the number of your students who actually, if they happen to have access to internet, wouldn't mind jumping onto ref desk there and checking the oil price every day. What's happening to it? and getting a feel for the kinds of things that really do count. And when I say count, you say, well, I thought you just were talking about value and Christian worldview. What does that? Well, I'm telling you what. I would like for a young man to have a little bit of a feel for how to have a sense of where this thing is headed and whether he ought to borrow that money to buy that $15,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 truck or not. Well, there are other good reasons not to. But if he's anticipating paying $4 or $5 a gallon for fuel, well, he's got an added reason to forget about that. It's been very helpful to me just to have just a little bit of an idea, be able to check a few things. See what's happening. Mission activity of the church. Culture. Archaeology. Hey, what about this one? Mennonite news. Don't suggest you try Zanga on that one, but there may be some other good sources. Get to that a little bit later. Local news. If you live in this area, you'd love the Meadville Tribune on that point. They don't seem to be able to get outside of local news. But it's important. Education, medicine. Okay, this was just kind of off the top of my head as I thought about it in preparation for talking with you a little bit about this. So, well, you know, here are some categories that maybe if we intentionally, at the beginning of the school year, said to ourselves, look, you know, I'm going to choose one, two, or three of these, and that really is going to be the focus of what I'm going to do in current events. And obviously, it would make some difference as to whether you're talking about elementary level or whether you're talking about high school level. I would stay away from a smorgasbord approach. A smorgasbord approach means that you're going to tend to default to whatever the mass media is saying. Okay? I think it far better if you began the year with some intentionality. What I'm going to emphasize this year in current events is, and then fill in the blank, whatever it may be, and think about your students. Think about your community. What is really going to be helpful to them? Rather than what may, I don't know, just be exciting for the moment. So Princess Diana smashed up, her driver wrecked into somebody and she was killed. Again, it sounds like I'm demeaning her, not trying to do that. But that's sensationalism versus real substance of what's happening. Maybe you have some others here. I left some space here so that you can write a little bit. So I'm just going to stop periodically and say, okay, now, give me some categories that you might think would be important. Natural disasters or events that are happening around the world, whether it's a tornado or whether it's a hurricane or earthquake or whatever. Good. Discoveries in nature. Mm-hmm. They're always finding things. A humanitarian crisis. Sudan, places like this where people are starving because of events that are happening. Others. Persecution. Okay, you get the idea? Brainstorm on this and think about it before you, August 27th or 28th or whatever the day is that you go to school this fall. Decide ahead of time what your emphases will be. And you'll find it gives some guidance to where you actually go if you are looking on the internet or if you're going into the library and picking up a magazine or whatever it is. You'd be surprised at how much focus this gives you if you think ahead of time. What is it that I want to focus on? And we want substance, not sensationalism. Secondly, maximize your strengths and minimize your weaknesses. Principles of teaching students, you'll like that, right? Okay. But I really mean this. Current events is a broad subject. Do you know that? I mean, it's wide open. You can go anywhere with that thing. Well, one of the best places to go in terms of skill or what you're going to do is in the area of where you are pretty good. And don't be afraid to admit, you know, this I do fairly well. This I don't do so often. For example, geography emphases. Maybe you actually want to take current events, and you're pretty good with geography. You got a pretty good sense of it. And you maybe even are fairly adept at cartography, that is map drawing and things like that. And if that's the case, you might actually each week or each month or whatever have the students focus on a particular area. And by the time that month is over, they're going to be able to sketch in Russia and its various, I lost track of the Russian states right now. I'm not quite sure how many there are, but just saying that sketch them in. Maybe that's what you would do. Now, if that happens not to be your take on things, you don't really care for maps. That's not a focus of yours, and you hardly even know where Pennsylvania is on the map. Well, maybe you should consider another emphasis. Historical context. Now, this is one that I like. And so my problem is, as soon as I jump in on current events, I'm off on some rabbit trail talking about what led up to all of this. And so instead of talking about the three things that I really wanted to bring to the students' attention today, I talk about the one and the 20 minutes it took to get to that one point. Well, that's bad if it's not intentional. Well, I say it's bad. I mean, it's not a good approach unless it's done intentionally. Now, if I know that's a strength I have, right? Then I might say to myself, well, it would be better. What I'm going to do is I'm going to select two current events each week, and I'm actually going to develop lessons around that walk them through the events that led up to this event and gives it context. Now, current events under any circumstance, you can't get very far with it unless you can do that reasonably well. But I'm saying it could actually be an emphasis. If it's an emphasis, that's what you test. Okay? Small groups. I have no idea how you would do this, but I'm just saying it's an approach. Some people are very, very, very good, very adept at using small groups. How could you do this? Well, you could select, if I were doing it, you could select four different issues, let's say, have four different groups, and during current events period, have those groups gather somewhere and assign give a few assignments and have them actually come the next week with a little bit of research done on that, and one of them is going to present a 5-minute presentation on what their small group did. It's not my forte, but some people do it very well. Okay, and it's a good idea. Lecture speaks for itself. Student presentations of various kinds. This takes some coaching, though, right? If you're good at having a student prepare a bit of an outline, and then you have 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you actually know where that time is at, you're going to sit down and help that student put together a little presentation, maybe do an overhead or whatever. That's fantastic. That's great when students get up and give the presentations. I will tell you, this is work to do it well. But it's a good approach. Somebody will learn something if you have them do it this way. Essay? Excellent, again, for high schoolers in particular. If here's something really important in the media, maybe a comment from Ahmadinejad, you know, from Iran, and so you say, okay, this quote is from Mr. Ahmadinejad in Iran. I'd like for you to write two paragraphs about your opinion. Obviously, assumes they know something, or they're not going to be able to write that. But just saying, this is a good approach. It'll work. Research. It could be that what you're going to do is actually have it researched. This you're good at. You know how to do this. You know how to point people in good directions. Okay. If you do, well, then maybe it could be that way. You actually assign students to do specific research in certain areas. Maybe you even have them do their research paper for semester one or semester two or whatever on some selected current event. that would have that kind of breadth. Okay, what are some others that you can think of that may be ways to maximize your strength and minimize your weakness? There are some of you I know have taught plenty. Why don't you tell me what you've done here, or tell us? Okay, we'll move on then. If you'll turn the page over to the other side, you will see maxim number 3. In maxim number 3, again, borrowing from principles of teaching. To be sure an event will happen, schedule it. I have a question for you. Those of you who are experienced teachers, you already have your schedule made out for next year. Is current events an add-on to American history class? Is it something that you're going to do every Friday if you have time? Or is there a spot actually on your schedule that's at least a half an hour in length, and it says on that, current events? That's my question. Don't have to raise your hand on this one, but I can tell you by experience, every time when I have attempted it as an add-on, it gets bumped over and over and over. It just doesn't happen as regularly as it should. I found out that the best way to do this is to actually put a spot, a place in the calendar. So it says American History Monday, American History Tuesday, American History Thursday, American History, what did I say, whatever, Thursday. And on Friday, it says current events. That's what's in the block. Okay? I'm just saying, if you don't have a specific time and place for this, probably it's not going to work, or you're probably going to let it fall by the way. Specify a time, specify a place, and finally a question for you: when will you assess? Because here again, that is, when will you test? If you're going to. And I would recommend that you do. Okay? The accountability always helps. A certain amount of involvement that you wouldn't get otherwise, it seems, ordinarily. And so I would suggest you do. And here's my point on this one. At least my experience has been, so I got it on my schedule. It's in there for Friday, current events. If you've got the same problem Mr. Lehman has, it's talking too much, and you get started on something and you can't for the life of you get stopped. And so every Friday gets filled with current events rattling on and on and on, and never a chance to just stop and find out, okay, so what are the students learning here? Hence, I'm suggesting answer that question too. Fourth, maxim, stimulate and direct student involvement. Give specific assignments in advance. Maybe if you're going to do it this way, you could write at the beginning of the year. If you're teaching in the high school, you could say, well, we're going to start with the seniors and then the juniors. And you might say, we're going to assign Jim. He's going to do week one. We're going to assign so-and-so. He's going to do week two, and so on. So give specific assignments in advance. Fit student presentations with student skills. But I really, really do encourage student involvement as much as possible. Again, I recognize that it may seem at first that this would reduce your workload. Well, it may in some ways, but typically if it's done well, you're still going to have to put some work into this, okay, to help them know where they're heading with things. Okay, four questions. First one is, what is your purpose? I really, really, really do urge you to actually consider this question in a fairly specific manner. So what is your purpose? Do you want to encourage prayer for missionaries? Okay. I'm not suggesting that it has to be that pious. I'm just saying that is something that you could say that I intend to do. And if you intend to do that, you can see how that will direct what you do with current events. Do you want people to learn something about the political process in America since it's an election year? I'm not saying that's an awfully bad thing to do. Okay? I'm just saying if that's your intention, then that will direct a bit what you do in your selection of the actual material you're going to use in current events presentations and classes. Okay? And I really find it helpful if I thought about that ahead of time so that, again, I avoid the smorgasbord approach. Right? I actually have something in place that's helping me to know this is what I'm going to do. Maybe I'm just going to do that up until the end of November. Since in November we're going to elect, fill in the blank, whoever this is going to be. But obviously you can have a lot of interaction with students about political processes here and what it means to live in America. Discuss the voting issue and on and on and on and on. Okay? So I have a couple blanks here to encourage an interest in, you fill in the blank. I'm just saying that ask yourself some of these things and answer these questions for your helper. To develop the skill of, to connect students with. Let's just have some brainstorming here while we're on this. So just off the cuff, thinking about your students this year, to encourage an interest in what? Just go ahead and spit them out. Speaking in public. Okay, end times. Hold it. She wants to connect what's happening now with the book of Revelation. Praise the Lord. Local news, did you say? Excellent.
To see God's word kind of true. Israel and Ishmael will fight. Evil men will wax worse. People will be disobedient. Blah, 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 blah.
The unfolding of prophetic passages. Great. Who else? Finding places on a world map or national map. Amen. Good. Develop the bigger picture. Excellent. Push youngsters outside of their little self-centered world. Okay? In perhaps our own. Excellent. Constantly asking the why question. So why is this happening? Stimulating an interest in history. Good, let's go to the second one. To develop the skill of thinking like Christ. Keep filling in the blank. Sharing with others. Critical thinking. Excellent. It's engaging the neighbors. Map making. I don't know what skill you want there, but there. Remember, we are in classrooms to send students out the door with their minds renewed and skills in their hands. Enlarged capacities. Okay? And the more thoughtful we are about this, to connect students with their past, their future. I mean, fill in the blank again. But I do urge you to consider the question, what is my purpose? Okay, what am I intending to do? What do I want to happen? Okay. We'll go to question number two. Oh, this is one I really care about, and I hope you do too. What are your sources of information? Just want to show you exactly how this works. I have here just a whole pack of things. I just walked down to our library and picked them up. They're newsy. Okay? All of them would work in terms of sources of news. And I just want you to think as I raffle through them and hold them up how different it would be, what kind of slants would happen in your actual presentations in your current events class if you chose any one of these as kind of the core of your source. Mennonite Quarterly Review. Okay. You're saying, I'm not going to try that one. Well, just saying, okay, it is a source. Calvary Messenger. There's news in here, you know. Mennonite Weekly Review. It's just out of our library. The Mennonite. I didn't put these all in order. I just picked them up and happened to get these all at one place. Discover. That's a change, isn't it? Okay, so what would happen if this was the core? What's happening to our oceans, parallel universes, infinite use, backyard predators, good medicines, bad results, are you at risk? Ring around a moon, a mummy speaks. Will laughter outlast the internet? How will that affect what you do with current events? Astronomy. Biblical Archaeological Review. What if this was the core of what you were doing? Christian history. Not so newsy, but it really does connect you with the historical side of things. Christianity Today. God is not dead yet. Pop atheist. Dance on his grave. Postmoderns. I think I'm going to read this one. Bash proofs of his existence. But many modern philosophers say not so fast. Okay. U.S. News and World Report. Touchstone. Try a few others. Ref Desk. Now, I'm going to internet, of course. So if you pop up, if you happen to, Ref Desk is your home page. That's my home page. Okay, when it comes up, that's what comes up. What are you going to get? I'm telling you, I get more disgusted with it every time I see it. Up it pops, and about three or four or five of them have something to do with celebrities. I don't know who they are. Not only don't I know who they are, but that something about one of them just got pregnant, or two of them broke up, or that is ridiculous to begin with. Something like that. Drudge Report. Okay. I'm not declaring these bad, evil, or what. I'm just telling you that they'll slant a little bit what you pull from media, if that happens to be your basic diet of the news. Already mentioned Zanga. You'll get news there, all right. I don't know what for news you're going to get for sure, but I'm just telling you that these are all places where you pick up information, newsy kind of stuff. You even failed to mention the budget. Well, I'm telling you, these are places that people go to find information or news. And this question is pretty important. What are your sources of information? It'd be good for you just to sit down and list. Maybe you don't have a list. Maybe you could just name one. It's a Drudge Report, you know, or whatever it is. What are the primary sources from which you pull your information about the world around you? Yes. Go ahead, Richard, you're first. Got one over here?
I actually get all four of them. Staking off. Yeah, because the other ones. What are the ones that's attended in high school sits on my desk?
You know, and I wanted to tell you here just before I began to talk that some of my stuff is a little dated. I haven't taught current events now for probably 5, 6, 7, 8 years. So what was the name of that magazine again? Yes. Okay, the sub-magazine's under it. Okay, I don't even have that one here, but I'm sure we have it down in the library. Okay, good. We used to use, when I taught at Anchor Christian School, we used World News Map of the Week. Is that thing still in circulation? Say again? Is that a new name for it? It used to be called World News Map of the Week. Ryan? Okay. All right, a number of years ago, it was weekly. It came every week in 6 top articles. It was really good then. That was the one I liked. See, God's World, that's a book. What's the, there's another magazine that is used regularly. I see float. Is it God's World News, I believe? I see that one floating around at various schools. I don't have negative feelings about any of those, okay? But I will insist the right question to ask yourself is, what are your sources and why have you chosen those sources? Okay? The reason I liked the World News Map of the Week back there years ago is because they had it all nice and laid out for you. They had 6 articles. They even gave you a quiz. You didn't have to make it up. You could either choose from theirs or, you know, run them off and offer those to the students. They had a map with the thing. And so it kind of covered all the hot buttons I had, you know, because I care about geography and I care about the historical context and I want to be able to assess students. It was all in one package. I don't know what it's like now, but I'm just saying, make sure you choose your source with some care. Is it what you want? Periodicals, here's just a few comments about it. Trusted sources. There's a number of reasons why Christians should stay away from the Sun magazine and from other tabloids. Among those is they're not very accurate. And I'm saying I know something about the moral consequences. I know there's a bunch of baloney in there along that line. But I'm telling you, I don't trust their reporting either. Okay, so trusted sources. They really are fairly accurate. Even from trusted sources, mind you, they can't report it all. And a lot of times you're just seeing a little wee piece of what actually happened. I have, on occasion, picked up a magazine, a reputable magazine, U.S. News or Report or something like that, and they'll make a quote out of a speech somewhere. You can normally find those speeches in their entirety, the entire thing. And it's interesting to go and read that entire speech and then see how they pulled out a quote and tucked it into a news article somewhere to make some kind of a point. I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, it's way out of context. Just used to embellish the story in some fashion rather than really being a solid piece of information that adds to the discussion. Hence, trusted sources. And I'm saying even after they are trusted, be aware that there's still bits and pieces that probably just are not going to be accurate. And of course, always ask yourself the question, what is the worldview of this source? How are they looking at it? Yes. I would recommend I think a mix is fine for a mature person. For what I am going to offer in the classroom, I wouldn't recommend a mix. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I used to get years ago. I got Christian History and Time Magazine and U.S. News and World Report. Okay, and that is quite a mix. And there are other magazines at various periodicals at various places on the issues, as you know. Okay, good question. Maybe somebody else has something to drop in here while we're just aiming through this material here. Okay, electronic media. Already commented on it a bit. Here's something to underline. Visuals alter public opinion, and they alter yours too. You're part of the public opinion. I know myself well enough. I have way more sympathy. I have a documentary that somebody sent here on the Vietnam War. I didn't solicit it, just came. So it's on video. I watched that thing, and part of that filming, there's very little violence in there except one part. They actually show a Vietnamese person being kicked around. I mean, he's on the ground, you know, and he's being kicked right in the guts. And you see him go, just scrunches up, pain all over his face, and it shows it graphically. That wrenches you around in a way that it doesn't wrench you around when you read the words. Okay. Mind you, it does. And I'm just saying that, you know, there's a documentary done on this too of the identical piece of news being shown from different perspectives. I don't have the information on this. I remember seeing a little footage on it. It was crazy. It looks, all you have to do is take it from two different angles. And the whole thing looks different. And people have a different opinion of what actually happened. I'm actually saying this to warn you away from doing a whole lot of current events based on visuals. Now, I know that's against principles of teaching, where you use visuals to get yourself oriented and all that, but particularly graphic images. And it's not two concerns here. Graphic images, first of all, they can do something with violence or morality or whatever that you don't want to do. But secondly, and maybe even just as importantly, I'm telling you, it tends to twist and contort what really happened if you have these selected four visions, images of a particular event. Okay? It very seldom gives you a really accurate view. And by the way, it gives the author of that a tremendous opportunity to bend you to thinking a certain way. All trial lawyers know this. They really do, and they really leverage it in the courtroom, because if they can get the right, if they can get the okay from the jury or from the judge to show certain pictures, they know they can bend the opinion of the jury with that thing. Believe me, they know that, and that's why you see so much fighting going on in courtrooms over what's allowed as testimony. Well, we ought to learn from that. I'm not afraid of visuals as a general rule. I'm just telling you. Remember, they alter opinion. And, of course, I've already been emphasizing this. Remember, there's a lot that has not been reported about a particular event. Question 3. How will you present the information? Will it be a lecture? Will you have handouts? Will there be assignments? Are you okay with role-playing or skits? It's not my field here, but I'm just saying some people do pretty well with this. visuals already mentioned here, bulletin boards. You can really leverage this to your advantage if you have a bulletin board where you have students bringing in current event articles. And remember, this is better if it's focused. If you're saying, this week I'd like for you to bring in current events articles from the local news, what's happening in Crawford County. And then they bring them in and tack them up. And as they bring them in and tack them up, then you use those as a basis for building your current events presentation that week. A visiting presenter, this one is very good. If you have a parent who is really sharp, let's say on biblical archaeology, something like that, and there has been an they just dug up some dinosaur or some other crazy thing happened somewhere, and here's a person who would have a lot more breadth than what you do on it, well, why not have them come in and give a 15, 20-minute, 30-minute presentation on the archaeological context of this and what this means, this new find. Okay? Maybe you have some other ideas here to share with us. Okay? And my last question is, how will you hold students accountable for what you present if you're going to? And I recommend you do. Quiz, summary essay, reports, and you could add to that. All right. I wanted to be careful to get through this and leave 15 minutes, but I only left 10. The time here is for specific questions or things that have worked for you. You've got the four maxims. You've got the four questions. Okay, now I'm wondering, I know some of you have as much experience or more than me in this area, and some of us are looking for ideas, so let's go at it here. Questions or ideas that you may have concerning current events. Ryan? Excellent question. The Palestinian-Israeli conflict has been a long one. And you're harking back to 2000?
Yeah, it started in mm-hmm. new conflicts, and yet these continued over weeks and eventually years. I didn't know how much emphasis to give to it.
Excellent. You hear the question? So how do you interact with those kind of ongoing struggles, keep it fresh, keep students interested and relevant, and keep the thing relevant. Who has some ideas here?
You sure can't keep up the day-to-day stuff. You can't come every morning saying, you know, well, there are 15 got killed with a suicide. You know, like, blew them up.
Mm-hmm.
I just try to pick out the real highlights that happened there. Like when they mm-hmm. broke through the wall, mm-hmm. they tore down through there. I mean, mm-hmm. Now there was something that captured their interest.
Here's a defining moment in this ongoing conflict. So that's one thing I hear you saying there is, well, be able to identify the defining moments, okay, in the flow rather than the routines. The routine. Okay, good. Who else was something to on that particular question?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I tell you one that has really been, I wasn't teaching, so I didn't use this, but Steve Russell spent, 6 months or so there in Jerusalem back last year. It was fascinating to sit down and hear him talk about his personal interactions with Israelis and with Palestinians. And just for whatever it's worth, what I got from that was that the Palestinians are much more friendly toward Americans than are Israelis on a personal level. I was astounded, of course. You get a totally different view when you hear a personal interaction. So what actually, these Palestinian Christians, they were so delighted to have us over, but man, I felt pushed by the Israelis. They weren't nearly as kind. Good. Set some context to it. Who else?
How much do you incorporate any pop culture concerning sports, especially if students have an issue with worshiping it anyways?
Excellent question. So what about pop culture? Whether it's athletics, or whether it's music, or whether it's some other, well, the Olympics are right on front pages here now. Yes?
I don't read the sports page. I saw a headline once that caught my attention. It said something like, I is not the team. The other thing was the Congress, there's only room for one superstar.
Think about it, right? Excellent. Somebody else.
After he did the year and retired, and how he's saying his life is so empty and meaningless, he's searching for meaning and those kind of things. I use it in that way.
Excellent. Who else?
Well, we say this the daily sports things.
Who else? Okay, News Magazine of the Week.
Anybody else?
See a couple of hands. Okay. All right. Got that one.
I can do the News Magazine as far as secular versus Christian. I prefer secular because their Christian worldview does not line up with my Christian worldview. Let's say World Magazine, I got it for a while. All you guys can think is Republican. Yeah. Switch. I get The Economist, which is a British news magazine, a world class report. It's secular, it's a lot of cake, but it's a very clean magazine. Their perspective, then, I really do enjoy that.
That's thoughtfulness. I agree generally, but even if I didn't agree with the brother about the magazine, I like the thoughtfulness that was put into the choice of a magazine there. You understand? That I'm actually going to draw from. You often find this, the secular media or the secular world generally has an agenda, that's true, but one of their agendas is to try to be neutral and tolerant and all that kind of stuff. And so real professional reporting generally is nonpartisan. This is what happened. Okay. Good. Who else?
Is there anything wrong with this? I'm sure most people get this problem. Being that people in Central America, sometimes we get God's little news down there. Ben's family homeschools, so they send it over to me. Sometimes I'm teaching this current events that's 2 months old, but it's still stuff Susan knew anything about. I don't know if there's any value in something like that, or it's scrapped. Because as far as stuff you can get on the lease, and current, I mean, the newspapers, Joe, I mean, that's all they have. Other things that don't exist. So is there a lot of value in saying, okay, let's study this thing that happened? We know this happened a little ways back.
I think it's useful. I don't know what the rest of you would say, but that's the format, and it sounds to me as though the people from Belize would be used to this delayed news, or
probably in our school they would, because that's that's all we have, really.
Mm-hmm.
As far as we're current,
yeah.
Furthermore, you may have added perspective.
I was just going to say that. Sometimes it cooks a little bit, it's better. That's good. Who else? Yes?
How do you keep students actually sensitive to real world tragedy when they see us 15 people killed by suicide bombers, 40 people injured in a stampede or something? It's so easy to get desensitized to human tragedy because, as Colleen said, a couple million is just a statistic and it becomes that. How do you keep students?
That's an excellent question. Is there, maybe asking a little bit differently, is there a danger of desensitization? All of this deluge of violence and killing and carrying on. So what do you do with that? Imagine coming to church Sunday morning and then actually put names to them. Names and faces, and say, okay, try to imagine they're not ever coming back again.
Also know how many people visit the
stadium. Mm-hmm. What he's doing there is trying to give a quantity and a quality that students can understand. So here's a face. This is a person. You're not talking about a statistic. This is a person, and here are the numbers, if you think about it. Yes?
As far as numbers goes, I had that on 11.5, 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, but 25,000 X's on it. This year, I think 2 or 3 students do it back in credit.
Wow. That's an excellent example. That's good. Have you ever wondered why the Vietnam War Memorial is so attractive? If you go down there and look at the thing, well, no, it certainly doesn't have the fanciness to it that another memorial does, but it has every name of the people who died in the war. And at least when I've been there years ago, right after the war, and memorial was first up, I went there and saw a young lady, 25 years old, 2 children. This is early in the morning, about 7 o'clock. Sun was just coming up. There's mist there. And I walk along there and looking and looking and looking, finally putting a finger on the wall. Well, I didn't walk up and ask, but I almost guarantee this was a husband and a dad, And that gives that memorial impact, because it does what we're struggling with here. It gives faces and names to things, not just a nameless something. We're not answering your question, Ryan, but you get the idea. If you want to incur an event, you want to try to help people to understand these are real people.
One thing, even in large numbers, how do you locate 60,000 people died in this earthquake?
Mm-hmm.
What does 60,000 look like? One thing, where I come from, the county is about 110,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my father applying it to when Sennacherib came down on Israel.
Mm-hmm.
145,000, 180,000. It wasn't angel killed the name. He said, imagine arriving in the town, and every single person you see is dead. This entire county is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And you to the gas town, and there's five cars here, and all the people in them are dead. You walk in the fire, and there's all the people around, they're all laying on the floor dead.
Mm-hmm.
And you drive down the highway, all these cars are stopped, people are dead. It did something.
It's a pile of people. It's a lot of people.
You know, and it's something, you know, even my students now, like, how do I connect them to 10,000?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, biggest event, well, okay, that funeral is 700 people. Make 13 of those students, and they're all laying there dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, try to connect them somehow to these numbers. I think one way is simply, you know, Ryan, your question, it's not almost 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
It's 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And every single one of them is somebody's daughter or somebody's mother, and every single one of them is either heaven or hell.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Be careful, really. Gory.
Right.
I showed it to my student. I have these people and it found, you know, just a little better
perspective. There, we're talking about selected use of visuals. I already got done warning you, don't use them to let yourself be biased. But maybe there's a place to pop them up to say, look, real people. Real events, real blood, real deaths. Good. We're out of time. Who else? Where do you go to for unreported news? Paul Harvey. Actually, I'd say that with tongue in cheek, and yet there are places like that. But maybe somebody can just give some specifics where they'll give another side of the story. The other side of the story, right? Yes, Jamin.
Online, there's some computers and searching you can often find, like newspapers from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And
that is very enlightening when you see how the Chinese or whoever views a particular event in respect to how. So there are online sources. Who else? If your community is fine with that, there you have a source. If they're not, I think that should be respected. You understand that? It's good. Who else?
I see more and more referencing the unspoken or the unreported news to WorldNet Daily.
WorldNet Daily, okay. I'm not familiar with it, but all right. Okay. Okay. Ryan? Okay. They like sensationalism. Okay. Good. Anybody else on that? I got to let you go. Thank you very much for coming and sharing as you have. I hope it's been helpful.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.